Thank you, John and Robin. Go with me to the book of James now. Book of James, chapter 4. We're going through the book of James, and I read through it a few times, actually. And this verse 8 stuck out to me, and I've been wanting to deal with it ever since, and it can't wait until we get to it. It's that important. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. This is a word of salvation to the lost. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. This is a word of restoration to the backslider. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. This is a word of comfort, a word of instruction, a word of communion for the believer. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. What a promise. All that God is, love, peace, gentleness, goodness, mercy, grace, draw nigh to God. Near to God are all those things. Far from God is the opposite. The opposite. Nigh to God, you'll find peace. You'll find safety. You'll find protection. You'll find assurance. You'll find freedom from fear, freedom from worry, a help with sin, a help with the adversary. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Scripture says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now and then, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. All found near to God. Near to God. Our peace within and peace without. Peace of heart, mind, peace with others, peace in the home depends on this. Nigh to God, you have these things. Afar off, none of these things. That's how important this is. Do you want to know how to draw nigh to God? Now, it is true. I must say this. No man, our Lord said, can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And yet the Scripture says to us, to pray, draw us, and we'll run after you. David said, when you said, seek my face, that's when I said, thy face I'll seek. So draw nigh unto God. We have this command, this permission. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Now here's a word to the lost. And there's always someone that doesn't know the Lord in every single gathering. Every single one. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the first thing they did was they ran from God. In the garden, they hid from God. You cannot hide from God. David wrote a whole psalm about that, Psalm 139. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? And if you're one of His people, be glad that you can't run and hide from Him. But Adam and Eve tried to, and ever since they failed. Ever since sin entered into our bloodstream, into man, man doesn't want to be in the presence of God. Man doesn't want anything to do with God. God is not in all his thoughts. He does not like to retain God in his knowledge. That's why people hate to come to church. That's why our children, that's why our loved ones that don't know the Lord, that's why the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. He doesn't want anything to do with God. Like Adam and Eve. Iran don't want the presence of God. Don't want a creator. Don't want an owner. Don't want a sovereign. Don't want a ruler. Don't want a Lord over them. Don't need a Savior. But how foolish is it for a creature and who's in the hands of his Creator to bite the hand that feeds him, to rebel against the one in whose hands his breath is? How foolish is that? How dangerous is that? Huh? To reject God? And try to get as far away from God? But God. Weren't Adam and Eve so glad that God came after them? That the Lord Jesus Christ came walking and said to Adam, "Where art thou?" Oh, how glad Adam and Eve were that God came looking for them, because they didn't want anything more to do with God. Man lost three things in the garden. He lost the image of God. He lost the knowledge of God, understanding of God. He lost the communion with God. And Christ gives us all that back. When God, Lord Jesus Christ, came to them in the garden, the first thing He did was convict them of their sin, didn't He? He said, "What have you done?" Caused them to acknowledge their sin, didn't it? At first they denied it, and then they had to confess it, didn't it? The goodness of God led them to repentance. And He clothed their nakedness with the skin of an animal. I believe it was a lamb, don't you? Quite sure it was. Covered their nakedness, covered their sin, and sent them out. He had to kick them out of the garden, remember? But He sent them out with a promise, with the hope that there's somebody coming, the woman's seed. And you've brought sin into this world. He's going to come in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now go. But you can come nigh unto me one way, by the blood of a sacrifice. We come nigh. How can a sinner come nigh unto a holy God? How? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. We come to God in fear and humility. Isaiah chapter 2. Look at these verses with me. We come to God in fear and humility. James said in James 4, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." He said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up." Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11 says, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up. He shall be brought low." You cannot come nigh unto God in pride. You can't come near. God will hold you at arm's length if you're proud. Pride is the ugliest, most repulsive thing to us, isn't it? Pride is a repulsive thing. How much more is it to God, who does all these things for us? It's rebellion and unbelief is what it is. Isaiah 57, go over there. "And God has purposed it," the Scripture says, "to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. But here's how you draw nigh unto God and how He will draw nigh unto you. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with Him also. It is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. You come to God in fear and in humility. We come to God in repentance and faith. Look at Isaiah 55. We come to God in repentance toward God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That's how we can't come to God otherwise. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's repentant. And let him return unto the Lord. And He's so good. He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, He will not only pardon, but abundantly pardon. He delights to show mercy. We come in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said this in quoting Isaiah. He said, they shall all be taught, all thy children shall be taught of God, and everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. Repentance toward God, Paul said, I preached with tears, warning you. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You may come to God in fear, in humility. You may come to God in repentance and confession. And you may come to God one way. Christ said, I am the way. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all taught. All of God's people are taught. There's one way to come to a holy and offended God, and that's by the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One way. Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, the Lamb of God, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. You cannot come to God without the blood. But you may come freely with the blood. Listen to this. Let me just read it to you in Hebrews. We'll look at this Sunday, Lord willing. But it says, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, by His holy life, by His blood shed for our sin. That is to say, His flesh. We have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near by that blood, by faith in Christ. As a sinner, by faith in Christ, with a true heart. God is nigh unto them that draw near unto Him in spirit and in truth, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, fully expecting, fully believing that He'll receive you. Christ said, come unto me. We draw nigh unto God by fear and humility. We draw nigh unto God. This is for the lost and the found. We draw nigh unto God in repentance and faith. We draw nigh unto God by calling on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We won't be saved unless we call on the name of the Lord. If someone's not saved, they have not called on the name of the Lord. Whosoever, though, the promise is, the blessed promise, the merciful promise is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, no matter who it is, no matter what they've done, no matter, shall be saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who came to this earth to do a great work, who spent 24 hours a day doing that work and only had 33 short years to do a work of eternal salvation in, walked on this planet, and every single step He took was divinely ordered by God. He was ever about the Father's business. Slept very little, ate very little. Always about the Father's business. Always at work, doing this work. He said, I must work. The time is short. This work is great. I must work. He who was about the Father's business, busy all the time, working and walking. He was walking along one day in the midst of a great crowd of people, and somebody cried out from the depth of their heart, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord of glory, God Almighty, who came to this earth, stopped in his tracks and told his disciples, gave the command, said, "Go get that person and bring him to me." And they said, "Lord, he's nothing but a blind beggar. Get him. Draw nigh unto God. Call on the name of the Lord. He'll stop what he's doing." Here's a word to the backslider. Turn to Jeremiah 3 with them. Jeremiah chapter 3. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. The backslider is all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. My Lord said, "My people are prone to backsliding. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Satan, sin, self, the world, the flesh, and the devil tempt us, allure us away from God. And we often fall to those temptations like our parents and end up afar off, it seems. Afar off. In Jeremiah 3, listen to the merciful and gracious words of the Lord whom we leave, whom we run from. Verse 12, Jeremiah 3, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God." Look at verse 22. "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee. Thou art the Lord our God." Draw nigh unto God. No matter how far off. Yet we wander off, don't we? We forget God. Scripture says we go a-whoring. Through covetousness, that which is idolatry, the Lord says. The world and these things take up our affection and our thoughts and our time that should belong to God. And we feel afar off as we ought to feel. And we often feel like we're completely lost and without hope, without God, and without Christ, don't we? And David, one time when he got in that way, his own fault, read Psalm 107 for yourself. "Fools through their transgression are brought low." David, one time when he got in a bad state like that, he said, "Are the heavens are brass? He's not hearing a thing I say." He said, "Are his mercies clean gone?" And you feel forsaken, you feel cast out, you feel too far gone, like Jonah. But God. You know, you can't get too far off from God because His arm's not short. You know, He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's willing. And He's willing. He's not only able, but He's willing. He's willing, like the father to the prodigal. He's willing that those afar off come back to Him. That's what we just read there. Return unto me. Return unto me. He said in Jeremiah 4, if thou wilt return, O Israel, return unto me. Return unto me. I heard this story one time of a prodigal son that went out into the world and wasted his substance like the one in the Scripture. And he hadn't called home for a long time. Hadn't been in touch, been out of touch with his parents for a long time. And then, till he got to the point where he was ashamed. He came to himself like the prodigal. And he wanted to come home. He wanted to be restored fellowship with his family. And so he called home. And nobody answered the phone. And he left the message on the phone. He said, Dad, he said, Mom, I'd love to come home. This is John. I'd love to come home if you'll have me. I'm sorry for everything, but I'd sure like to come home if you'll have me. And I'm coming in tomorrow on the noon train. And if you'll have me, I'm coming home. And if you'll have me, just put a white towel on the clothesline. Just hang a white towel on the clothesline. So he did. He came in on the new train. And he walked the short distance from the rail station to his home. And he looked. And there was a white towel on the line. And white sheets. And white pillowcases. And white underwear. And white handkerchiefs. And everything in the house that was white, was hanging on the line, saying, welcome home, son. Welcome home. God delights to show mercy. If you don't need that now, you will. Because you will be afar off. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. And the way back for the backslider, though, is the same as the lost through fear, humility, repentance. Father, I've sinned, the prodigal said, I've sinned against heaven and against you and everybody else. And all I want is just... What did the father do? Ran. Draw nigh unto God. And he ran and fell on his neck. Fell on his neck. How near will he draw to you? He'll fall on your neck. What a gracious God we have. We read that He will abundantly pardon. That father didn't say, well, you got to sleep in the barn from here on out. No, no. He said, kill the fatted calf. Bring the best robe. Well, here's a word for the child of God. Here's a word for believers. Draw nigh unto God. Go back to our text. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee. And what we're talking about here now is something vital. Vital. Words of life. These aren't vain words. This is life. Life more abundant. We're talking about close communion with our Lord. Now, if you need this, listen up. Okay? Talking about close communion with our Lord. I talked about how that so many things depend upon it. Close communion with our Lord, like Enoch, like Noah, like Abraham, who walked with God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham and Enoch and Noah walked with God, which gives great peace and great joy and great calm and great contentment and great assurance and safety and courage. How? How do you draw nigh to God? Well, number one. Prayer. Prayer. That's communion with God. Prayer is, yes, praise, thanksgiving. Our Lord said, after this manner, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come to Him in fear. We come to Him in humility. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Worship and praise and thanksgiving and petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. That's repentant. But prayer is just this. Talking with God. Talking with your Father. Talking like a child talks to their parent. Like a wife talks to her husband. Like a sinner talks to his priest. Prayer, it's talking to God. And our Lord said men ought always to pray. You know how close our Lord Jesus Christ was with the Father as a man on this earth. Why? He was always in constant communion with His Father. He prayed always, didn't He? And He told us, you ought always to pray. Your peace depends on it. Your faith depends on it. Your joy depends on it. Freedom from fear depends on it. Your relationships with others depend on it. Your thoughts, your words, your actions, everything depends on it. Prayer, talking to our God. You know, amongst ourselves, if there's no communion with one another, we don't have a relationship, do we? We don't have a relationship. We're estranged, aren't we? If we don't talk to one another, we're estranged from each other. And if I don't talk to you, you're not going to talk to me, are you? Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. If I don't call on the Lord, He's not going to talk to me. It's just a fact. If there's no communion, close communion, there's no relationship. If there's no close communion, there's no understanding of the person. There's no constant communion. There's no nearness. Draw nigh unto God. Call on the Lord, and He'll draw nigh unto thee. And He'll speak to you through His Word. You know, our Lord said in Proverbs 1, of some people, I called and you refused. You wouldn't answer. You know, some people you call on, you call on, you call on, they never call back. Eventually you quit calling on them. You think they don't want my company. Don't you? You just do, don't you? Thank God He's not like us. He's long-suffering, even when we don't call on Him for extended periods of time. But how can that be? Why do you think men like Moses and Abraham and David and Daniel and these others are so full of faith and so full of wisdom and so full of patience and kindness and so forth? Why do you think that? They were close to God, to talk to the Lord. They weren't better men than us. They just called on the Lord. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto thee. Well, you know, if we spend more time... Our Lord called covetousness idolatry. That's just what He called it. He said other things and people... Talk to them more than we talk to God. Listening to men rather than God. And company with the world. It's no wonder we don't have any peace. It's no wonder. Draw nigh unto God. Where is God? If we're going to draw nigh unto God, where is God? Well, God, He said, I dwell in the heavens, I in the high and the lofty place. But He said, God wrote this in the Psalm 46, and He said this, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. What is that? Jerusalem over there? It's a church. But it's a church where two or three are gathered together in His name. He promised to be there always. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. What if I, you know, if He said, I'm promised to be. Well, He did that. He told His disciples. He said, tell my disciples to go before me in Galilee and I'll be there. What did they do? They skedaddled on to Galilee. And He was there. And when He showed them His side, He showed them His hands, His feet, He spoke peace to them, He revealed things to them, and they had faith as never before. Thomas, remember? He wasn't there. He was full of doubts and fears and bitterness. And oh my, draw nigh unto God. His people, His church, that's His temple. That's where He's promised to be. Tabernacles, little local congregations where the Lord is. Doesn't matter the number, just two or three. That's where His Word is heard. That's where He speaks. That's where He is worshipped. That's where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit preaches. Christ is lifted up. That's where sinners are healed. Communion of His body and His blood is eaten. Scripture says, God loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. That's where He just abides. Draw nigh unto God. But if we cannot have fellowship with those who don't know our God and have fellowship with God, can't do it. God's not in the midst of them. Those He knows afar off. You want to be afar off? David said, I haven't sat with the ungodly. That's not where I'm sitting. I'm not walking with the sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. No, no, no. I'm with God's people. Well, that's where God's going to be. You draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. And you know, if you have fellowship with those who are close to the Lord, that's who you want to be with. Old Lot should have stayed with Abraham in the mountains, shouldn't he? He wished he'd have never left Abraham's side. And he almost perished. Draw nigh unto God. He'll go draw nigh unto thee. Draw nigh to God in this way. We draw nigh to God. Look at James 4 over there. James 4. I need to turn myself. In verses 6, it says, we giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We've already said we draw nigh unto God in fear and humility. We draw nigh unto God in the right spirit and attitude. Look at verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. It's all connected there. We draw nigh unto God with the right spirit and attitude. God dwells with the humble. God dwells with and is nigh unto the merciful. God dwells with and is nigh to the peaceable. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're the people of God. Draw nigh unto God. I'm not saying clean yourself up to come to God. I'm not saying that at all. But our Lord said, to the merciful, He'll show Himself merciful. But to the forward, He'll show Himself forward. Draw nigh unto God. Drawing nigh to God is a close relationship, and it means, as I said, peace in the heart, peace in the mind. There's no peace to the wicked. That means not just those outwardly wicked. That means those who don't think on God or those who are hypocrites. Peace of heart, peace of mind. Peace in the home. Peace in the church. Relationships are better for it. Husbands are better husbands. Wives are better wives. Children are better children. That's just so. There's protection from the adversary. If you want protection from the adversary, draw nigh unto God. No safer place. Right beside Him. Christ-likeness. You want to be like Christ? Draw nigh unto Him. John was called the beloved disciple, wasn't he? Why? His head was always on his breast. John wrote several books in which he talked much about love and the beloved disciple. He was always close to the Lord. Draw nigh unto God. Worries and fears will diminish. Faith will increase. Assurance will increase. Wisdom and understanding will increase. Distress and despair will decrease. Are you listening to me? This is vital. I'm talking about distress diminishing and assurance increasing. Anybody need this? Love and forgiveness and forbearance and patience and long-suffering will increase. Nigh unto God will regulate your thoughts, regulate your words. You'll be careful what you say in His presence. You'll be careful what you say about others. You'll be careful what you think about others. You'll be careful what you do in the sight of God. Nigh unto God. It'll regulate your thoughts, regulate your speech, regulate your actions. That's right. My old dog used to, as long as he's by my side, he was a good dog. When he went running off, he's liable to get into anything. And so are we. Draw nigh unto God. Forgiveness, forbearance, all these things. The kingdom of God will be nearer. Eternity will be more desirable. Our love will increase. As Peter said, it'll hasten the coming of our Lord. Worldliness will subside. Yes. Near to God. You won't think about this world. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. All your fears and worries about the cares of this world. As long as those disciples were walking with the Lord, they didn't have a care in the world. Did they? Close to the Lord. And when He was gone, they thought, oh, we better go fishing. No. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Draw us, O Lord. And we'll run after you. We'll follow after you. Draw us. Pray without ceasing. Every day. Every hour. Hear His Word. Right here, you get a double portion. The Spirit of God has promised to be present. With His people, where two or three are gathered, God has promised to be there. Draw nigh unto God. Hearing His Word, reading His Word, listening to sermon, I'm telling you from experience. I'll tell you what my pastor said to somebody one time when they asked him, how long did it take you to prepare that message? I'll tell you how long it took me to prepare this message. He was about my age when he said that. It took me 35 years. It took me 35 years to learn this. And this is the most important thing you could ever hear. Draw nigh unto God. And God, who is love, peace, joy, everything, life, will draw nigh unto you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Our God, our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for the blessed promises. Oh, how we thank You that Thou art so merciful and gracious and long-suffering, and ready to pardon, ready to forgive, and delight to show mercy to them that fear Thee and hope in Thy mercy. Oh, Lord, draw us. Cause everyone in this room tonight some perhaps didn't hear a word, Lord, but Thou art God over this, over all, in whose hands everyone is. This is Your word You promised would not return void, would accomplish what You send it to do. Oh, Lord, Send it into the hearts, the minds, the spirits of your people. Cause it to sink down deep and draw them to thyself, away from this world, out of sin and darkness, unto thyself, to Christ, but with Christ, in Christ, in thee, in God, with God, at his right hand is salvation. Oh Lord, help us, save us from this untoward generation, us and our children. Cause us to call upon you. Cause us to walk with thee. Cause us to seek thy face while you may be found. Cause the backslider to come back. Save the lost is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.
I never heard a more needed message in my life.
Amen.
I need that.
Amen.